Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
I am Tim Ligon, and as he said, we pastored in Evanston for five years, 10 months, and God called us into missions. But my parents are missionaries. I was born in Monrovia, Liberia. And then from Liberia, we moved to Nigeria, and then from Nigeria, we moved to Niger. And we have, I met already a West African brother from Kano, Nigeria. Is anyone else, if you're from West Africa, can you raise your hand, or from Africa at all? Dagena, where are you from? From Nigeria. Very good. 8 years, Plateau State, Jos. So anyway, J-O-S, before we would ever play the football game, J-O-S, Jot, and then we kick the ball. Anyway, so just a real blessing to have West Africans in the service today. God bless you. And so it's an honor to see my friends as well. So we're going to be talking about Togo. And let's watch this video real quick. I asked my friends, now the school reaches, we have over 5,000 students. All of the students are pastors. We do not exist for money. We exist to do spiritual formation of pastors, because we believe that pastors change the communities, okay? Pastors are the blessing to the community, okay? And so these pastors are not just pastors of one church. Sometimes they're pastors of more than one. These guys are my heroes. I asked the English speaking, the school goes in French and English. I asked the English speakers, to speak to you, since, you know, for obvious reasons it's easier. I'm sorry about the quality of the sound. I used a cell phone to do it. I apologize about that. But there are some words up there, so you'll be able to understand. These are my friends. And I told them, I said, hey, you know, tell the American churches why you think WASD is valuable. You know, a lot of times we hear from the missionary. But I wanted you to hear from fellow brothers in Africa, from pastors in Africa, why they think WASD is a valuable ministry. Let's go ahead and watch that real quick.
When I think upon your goodness and your faithfulness each day, I'm convinced it's not because I am worthy to receive the kind of love that you give, but I'm grateful for your mercy. And I'm grateful for your grace. And because of how you poured out yourself, I have come to sing this song out in praise.
Church, I'm planting churches.
I'm a teacher in a Bible school. And also I pastor a church.
I'm the pastor. I pastor in the city in Ghana, Accra, and I'm in the university community. That's where our church is situated. I'm also the Sunday school director for the Assemblies of God Greater Accra region. So I coordinate activities.
The church history has really helped me that even one person can effect a change. So many things we are learning. All these things we couldn't get ahead if we understand.
That I have the tools and I've been equipped to reach Muslims. My mission is to reach out to the Muslim community and the university campus.
For me, I have been in ministry for about 14 years now, and I have an urge for missions, but I've never got that exposure until I came here.
Pastors, prophets, trained pastors from all over Africa who have their various areas of ministry, villages and towns and cities, to share the gospel. They lost souls. Many people are perishing, either worshiping and other things. Sicknesses are killing people. So, as much as impacted the knowledge, some of us, we are carrying many people in the villages who are perishing, and that's other sicknesses and their ability.
Every pastor needs to pass through this training to do more efficient and effective ministry.
I am from the Pacific Islands, and I have chosen WASP because I believe in God's mission, and WASP is doing a great job in equipping missionaries to reach out in these last days to bring me the gospel of Jesus Christ.
So I want to thank the church. I want to thank you for your support to missions and what we are doing there at WASP. I believe in what we are doing. I believe it's going to change lives. I believe it's going to change the landscape and even the politics and even the home life of West Africa. It's those men that you heard are godly men of God who are pastoring even more than one church at a time. Amazing people. I don't know if you heard it, but Philip Nias, he's from the Pacific Islands, came all the way from Vanuatu because he wants to start a missions program in Vanuatu, and he wanted to learn how to do it in West Africa because he felt that instead of going to Australia, he felt that the West Africans would be the ones to teach him how to do that. What a great man of God, and it's an honor. It was an honor to have him. You know, he could have gone anywhere else, and instead he chose to come to our facility. So God is good. God is using WASP all over the world. Togo is right there in between Benin and Ghana, as you can see, not far from Nigeria, Burkina Faso, and Niamey, Niger. We're going to look at a couple maps. I need to tell you, I would be remiss today if I didn't explain what it was I was doing with your support. So for the next 3 minutes, I'd like to just go over what the effects that WASP has on Africa. Let's go to the next slide. In the red areas on this map are the areas in which Christians are highly persecuted to be Christians, okay? You need to know this because you need to understand some of the territory. Northern Nigeria there, my parents live just 15 minutes from the border of Northern Nigeria. They live in Maradi, Niger, and of course some of you have heard of Boko Haram. Boko Haram is a terrorist organization that has been troubling northern Nigeria for a while. We hope that God is moving, and we know that God has blessed Nigeria with peace right now, peaceful elections. We were praying very much for that. Not everybody is happy with the outcome, but we thank God for peace. Amen. Because God, we really prayed for that. That was my prayer. And so in these areas, Christians will be persecuted to be Christians. And that sometimes means being in prison. That sometimes means being murdered. Let's go to the next slide. In this area, on this map, you can see this is the Joshua Project who came up with this. On this map, you can see that the greatest amount of unreached people live in the red area. You say, what is the difference between unsaved and unreached? An unsaved person has a Bible that he doesn't care to read. An unsaved person has a church that he doesn't care to come to. An unsaved person has a Christian television that he doesn't care to watch. In the red areas, because of political strongholds or because of spiritual strongholds, these people are not even sometimes allowed to have that. At the end of my video, you saw a picture of some Fulani children. Those Fulani children came 5 hours from the north, okay? These children right here. Those Fulani children came 5 hours from the north, okay? 5 hours once a year they get to hear about Jesus. We couldn't even go get them because Boko Haram and some other, and Maghreb were very, very, very active in that area. So we couldn't even go get them. They had to get in a taxi themselves, got in the taxi, came down so they could hear that Jesus loves them. 5 hours there, 5 hours back, and that's the only time they'll ever hear about God. Right? That's the only time they're ever going to hear the word of God from this book. So the difference between unreached and unsaved is stark. And so it's not that America doesn't need missionaries. It does need missionaries. We have many unsaved people here. But we would be failures in the mission if we didn't go to the unreached, amen? If we said all we're going to do, so we want to give them as many chances as we want to give our own family, amen? You have family that's unsaved. Raise your hand if you have family that's unsaved. How many of you would say, I want them to have another chance and another chance and another chance? My grandmother was saved because a pastor knocked on her door every Sunday and said, would you like to come to church with me? She had many, many chances, and she finally said yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They need a chance. They need a chance to turn Jesus down. They need a chance to have a church in their area. They need a chance. And by the way, if you look at the next slide, the United States, and this slide is old, Syria would be on here. The United States seems to think that some of the more dangerous people live in these areas, that you can get hurt just being human, just being a woman or just being a child, and these areas can be dangerous for you. Now, why is that important? It's very interesting to me that the same places that our government thinks is dangerous are also the places where the unreached are. Hello? This tells me that Jesus is good for the world. Can we say amen? This tells me that Jesus is good for the world. Jesus is good for the lost. That when we preach Jesus, we're not preaching something that is harmful or dangerous for them. Let's go to the next slide and the next one. This is Pastor Sabo. He's a dear friend of mine, dear friend of my family's. He is in Niger. I don't know if you heard about the Charlie Hebdo thing. Charlie Hebdo, the president of Niger went and apologized to the magazine for the terrorist activity that blew them up. Because he did that, some of the terrorists in the country began burning Christian churches. They burned 55 Christian churches, one orphanage, and killed a priest. 15 Assemblies of God churches were burned down because of that ordeal. Pastor Sabo here is standing in the wreckage of his church and his house. All his things are scattered. Everything he owned was burned, including 14 other Assemblies of God pastors. Let me tell you something about Pastor Sabo. He's still there. We didn't lose one pastor. Pastor Sabo didn't leave. Pastor Sabo is still preaching the gospel. All his Bibles and church hymnals were taken out of the church and burned. The water was cut off so that they couldn't put out the fire. Pastor Sabo didn't go anywhere. In fact, they sent a delegation to the president of Niger. The Assemblies of God sent a delegation to the president of Niger to ask him why he didn't send troops to protect them during the whole ordeal. And the president of Niger began to give excuses. And Pastor Sabo said, "You remind me of a man, sir. His name was Pilate, who sold Jesus to the mob because of political pressure, and you sold his body to the mob as well." So I think Americans, sometimes we fear persecution, and we think persecution would be the worst possible thing that could ever happen to me. Can I tell you, my friends, and even can I say my family in Africa, are not afraid. They're not as afraid as you are. Pastor Sabo didn't go anywhere. Hallelujah! Yeah, hallelujah! They're not afraid. Because my friend, once you have faced, once you know where the knife is coming from, huh? Once you can work on being filled with the Holy Spirit. You can work on being filled with the mission of God and understanding that it is God who protects you. Hallelujah! And the mission has to continue. The mission has to go on. So these are the kind of men. Pastor Sabo is one of our students. These are the kind of men that come to WAST. And so when I tell you that WAST goes all the way up to the doctoral, we have a doctoral program. When I tell you that, it's not to say that we exist for education alone. We don't. It's for spiritual formation. I want this man to come to WAST for his classes, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Word of God, to get some exercise, because we require that as well. I want that man to become the best possible version of himself so that the people of Maradi, the people of Niger can hear the gospel. Because guys, Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples of all the world. And if we don't do it, we will suffer because we didn't do it. Augustine of Hippo, early church father of North Africa, told the Catholic Church, he said, you have a problem with the German. The Germans were the terrorists of their time. He said, you have a problem with the Germans because you never sent missionaries to Germany. Anyway, you don't have to buy into it. You don't have to believe it. But when Jesus said, make disciples, it wasn't just a good idea. It was the only idea. It was our only hope. I pray for those men, those brave men and women who are in where my brother was born, in Kano. I pray for those men. Every week our school prays for them. Anyway, God is good. That's what we've been doing in Togo. We want to empower pastors so they can build the God. And by the way, the church is growing because Jesus said, I'll build this church and the gates of hell shall not be opposed to it. We have not lost one pastor in Niger. All of our students, none of them said, that's it, I'm done, it's too dangerous. None of them. They're all staying, and they're preaching the gospel. Okay, yaikyo. All right, let's move on. Let's move on. Turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Pray for Togo. Pray for your missionaries. Pray for the pastors in Africa. Much blood will be shed in the next 20 years. Most of it will be African blood. And it tears me up, you know? But you know, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord. And we need to understand as Americans, let's beware of putting our politics in front of Christ. Let's beware of saying things like, well, you just need to bomb the whole area. No, let's beware of that. Because really, good men of God are out there putting their lives on the line for Jesus. And it's a blessing to you. It's a blessing to you what they're doing. They're loving their enemies like the Bible told us to do. I want you to be spiritually strong. I want you to have spiritual power because as goes the church here, so goes the church there. How many of you know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers? How many know that? That it's not, it's really not the person that I'm looking at that is my problem. It's the spiritual force behind that person, right? It's really not the thing that has happened to me, but it's the spiritual force that is trying to break me. How many of you all know you are in enemy territory right here? Yeah, you are. And your faith is under attack, whether you know it or not. Sometimes the subtle enemies are the most dangerous, right? The ones we can't see. And so I need you to be spiritually strong. We need the American church to be spiritually strong so that the missionaries can be well sent, and sent into areas where they need to be. We need the American church to be spiritually strong so that Africa doesn't have to fight the battles. You know, did you know one of the reasons, one of the things that WAST is doing now is teaching classes on a biblical response to evolution? Because Western countries are coming into Africa and saying, we won't fund your schools unless you teach evolution. And they say, and the Africans are responding, but we don't buy into that completely. Anyway, so God is moving in a way. You know, your faith is under attack. And so you need to be, my friend, you need to be spiritually strong. Let's read Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But you shall receive power. Power, my friend, power is without moral, so I say it's amoral. It is a gift. You can have a saw and use it to cut down a tree, or you can cut your house down. Power is indiscriminate. It's a very dangerous thing to give people, and yet God gives it to us, okay? Listen to what he says. He says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Oh, so it seems that the purpose for this power is witness. Amen? It would seem that the purpose for this power is witness. So no matter what gift we talk about in the future, we now have come to the purpose, right? So no matter what gift you're talking about, whether it be speaking in tongues, the gift of prophecy, or the gift of healing, or whatever it is, if God gives you power, it is for a purpose. And I would say it's for the missio Dei, the mission of God. God wants his mission to go forward. The good news is that you are a part of that mission. Hallelujah. You are not the mission completely. That's like saying the mission begins and ends with me. It's not all about you, but it includes you. The mission is not all about Africa, but it includes Africa. The mission is not all about Niger, but it includes Niger. Hallelujah. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be witnesses. And then he says, he gives them the outline of the book of Acts, basically. It'll happen in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. What that tells me is really, when you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, it has a ripple effect in your life. That the most important thing you can do is get it here. People tell me, what do you do as a missionary? First thing I do is here. The first thing I do is right here. And I got to do it every day. Because, my friend, you can tell the difference. You can tell the difference between Pastor Tim filled with the Holy Spirit and Pastor Tim just doing stuff. The key to world evangelism. Right? The key to world evangelism is not to be found in your human method, but in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I was preaching at Wash Chapel. When you preach at Wash Chapel, you're on the radio, which goes over, it hits over a million people. It's very, 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 very staggering. It's very, very, there's a huge weight on your shoulder. You don't want to say things out of place. And so they should never let me preach there. So I'm preaching there, and I tell them, you know, I notice when people come into my house, I open the door, and I put a smile on my face. And my attitude changes, and I say, welcome. I said, you know, you can use a rock to hold your door open. And the rock can do the same job as me. If I have a smile on my face and a good attitude in my heart, I can do the job better than the rock. But if I have an angry look on my face and I'm holding the door like this, come on in, the rock is preferable. Because we have an idea in America that it's all about what I do. It's all about what I do. You know, I'm reaching thousands of people, and my friend, it's not just what you do. It's the attitude with which you do it. And homeless people could prove this. If somebody was homeless today, I don't know if you want to raise your hand, but if you were ever homeless, because I've been close to that, I've been in a tent for 4 months. If you're ever homeless, you understand what it means, like the attitude with which people do their job. You know, you can feed the hungry, and you can say, come here and sit down, and let me talk to you while I feed you. Or you can just throw the food in front of them. There's a big difference. Attitude makes a big difference. And so missionaries, we don't need to be thinking, well, I'm doing the work, therefore I must be doing a good job. No, the work, my friend, is secondary to the attitude with which you do it. How are you doing the work that God has called you to do? What is the motivation behind it? That's why I say the key to world evangelism is not to be found in your human method, but in the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. You can see it when you go to Walmart. Some greeters are really good at their job, and you know why they're there, because not only are they saying welcome to Walmart, they're smiling at you and they're saying, hey, have a great day, and you feel good as you walk into Walmart. Maybe I'll buy some more. You know what I mean? And then there's other greeters that are like, welcome to Walmart. Yeah. And you're like, what was that? I don't even know if I want to come in, because what is happening on the inside affects what you're doing on the outside. Hello? Hello? Isn't that the center? Shouldn't that be the center of ministry? Shouldn't that happen first before the work? Don't just do something, be someone. I remember God told me once in my prayer life, he said, Tim, don't just do something, stand there and receive something from me first. Don't just do something, stand there. Sometimes we get so busy doing things for God that we forget to be filled with his Spirit. And it shows up, people, it shows up. It shows up. You may not know it, but it shows up in your life. Your ministry becomes minuscule because you don't have the heart. God help us. So we need to be full of the Spirit so that we can do the work, because the work is really his work. Therefore, the missionary's chief concern must be spiritual vitality. We need missionaries that are full of spirit. Now, I said that the mission included you. It doesn't end with you. I'm not the mission, but I'm included in the mission. So the mission includes you. So you are a missionary in your own right. But let me tell you something. You know, in the book of Acts, you can read about the missionary Paul. And Paul, and even I think in Acts chapter 16 and verse 6, he wanted to go into Asia, and the Holy Spirit said, stop, don't go into Asia. I want you to go over here to Macedonia. You know, it said the Spirit would not allow him to go in there. And so I guess what I would say is some people say we're all missionaries, and I would adjust that a little bit. I would adjust that just a little bit. I would say everyone who's filled with the Spirit of God is a missionary because they're listening to the mission, right? You know, he's really the guy who gives the mission. He's really the gift and the giver. So I wouldn't say just because you're a Christian, you're a missionary, really. I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that, my friend, because just because you have the title doesn't mean you even know what you're supposed to be doing today. That's why it's so important to Paul and to Luke that you were filled with the Holy Spirit, that you had some kind of spiritual power going in. Therefore, your chief concern as a missionary should be to be filled with the Holy Spirit for that day and for that moment. You will face things, and your response to those things, your response to people, will depend on whether or not you did the work of being filled on the inside. You know, grace is free. You did nothing to be saved. But my friend, being filled with the Holy Spirit is on you. You cannot passively receive it. Lord, I'd kind of like to be like Paul. I'd kind of like to be filled with your Spirit. So I'm going to go lay down right now. I'm going to go hang out. I'm going to go hang out at Six Flags and be filled with your Spirit. I'm going to watch TV. It's not going to happen, my friend. It's not going to happen for you. You say, but that's works-oriented. You're saying, I didn't say you were saved by works. I said you were empowered by works. I said, you know, you say, how do you know that? How can you really say that? That's a horrible thing to say. What did Jesus tell the apostles when they were sitting? Were they just sitting in Jerusalem? They just happened to be there and the Spirit came down on them? He said, no. He said, you, the apostles, you stay right here until you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Stay in prayer. Jesus actually commanded us to pray for the Holy Spirit. It's on you, my friend. It's on you. You want to see God move in your life. You want to see yourself grow. You want to see yourself build up as a disciple. You want to see yourself be more disciplined. And then walk in the Spirit. And the way you do that is by getting in closer to Him. You can't do it on your own. Hear me today. I would be a very bad missionary if I told you, oh, it's just all a gift. And if you'll just come and I touch you, suddenly you'll be filled with the Spirit of God. And then suddenly you don't have to do any more work. That's useless. And I feel bad because I feel like some of us believe that once I get saved, I'm done. I can coast into heaven. You're not done. You need spiritual vitality in your life. You say, what good is it? What good is Jesus in a community? I had the blessing of seeing Jesus come into communities that never knew him, and a church and the mission of God coming to a village changes everything about that village, everything about them. From the inside out. God wants to do the same for you. God wants to do the same for your family. God wants to do the same for your church. It's like my brother, Brother Lednicki, used to say to me, you'll either come here to worship God or get in the way of my worshiping him. Spiritual gifts are an outgrowth of your spiritual vitality. You need to be strong because God needs you to be strong. He needs you to be strong in the community, and that comes from an outgrowth of spiritual vitality. It's not a passive receiving. It's an active choice. Paul even said, seek the best gifts. Seek. It's important for you. What do you need? We need to be seeking spiritual gifts. Huh? Spiritual gifts are an outgrowth of spiritual vitality. First, in our personal life, and second, in our corporate life. Do you have a prayer life? Why don't you have a prayer life if you don't? I need Jesus. See, the nice thing about being missionaries is we're always up against it, right? We're always up against the wall. We're always up against things, and so we realize our need. I think what's difficult, really, is when you start thinking, I got this. I remember telling God, it's not fair. You said in your word that he who is forgiven much will love much. And I, you know, and I didn't do anything really bad. And I could hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speak to me. He said, who told you that your sins were any better than your brother's? Who told you that you weren't a big sinner? And then he began to reveal to me some of my pride and my arrogance in that statement. Arrogance! To think that you could judge your brother. Jesus forgave me, a pastor's son, a missionary's son, of sins that were disgusting. I don't need a big, long story to reveal how lost I was. I was lost. Let's not focus on me. He found me. Hallelujah. So you need spiritual gifts in your life because you need to grow. First, in your personal life, and second, in your corporate life. Why do you come to church? You don't come to church because it's a spiritual club. You don't come to church just to you know, say to your conscience, I went to church. No, that's not why you come to. You come to grow. You come to grow. Just like we go to a workout place. I can work out by myself, but I do much better when I go to a gym, right? Actually, I only work out when I'm in a gym. When I'm in my home, I just kind of I kind of start and then okay, I'm done. But when I have a trainer and I have, you know, like your pastor, when I have a trainer and I have people coming around me and they're starting to encourage me to work out, I start to work out. And I reap the blessings of that. And that's what church does for you, spiritual vitality does for you. The greatest contribution any missionary, and when I say missionary, I'm talking about you. The greatest contribution any missionary can make to a church in any country is a spiritual contribution. That was Melvin Hodges who said that. He was the guy who wrote the book, A Spiritual Contribution. I know this to be true because I pastored for 6 years and I watched so many people shipwreck their ministry in my church because of their bad attitude, because they didn't take the time to pray before coming and doing the work. I know it to be true, my friend. I know it to be true because when I went to Africa, I faced opposition from certain men of God and an unrighteous anger rose up in my heart and I wanted to crush those men with my words and my attitude was so bad, I did nothing for God in those months when I was angry and I had to repent. I know it to be true, my friend. I know it to be true when parents try to push their children into forcing them with obedience rather than praying for them and never even saying 1 5-minute prayer for them daily. You know, if you don't pray for your kids, you know, you're in trouble, my friend. In Africa, we say if you build a house but forget to raise your children, the children will tear down the house. You know, I know it to be true that when parenting, you need the Holy Spirit. You need Him. It's not just I should be filled with the Holy Spirit before I talk to my kids. You need Him. I know that in order to be a good Christian, to be a good parent, and to do the mission of God in my family and in my life, that I need to be Pentecostal in nature. And what does it mean to be kind of Pentecostal? I want to say that to be Pentecostal means to be dependent on the Holy Spirit for everything. It goes beyond, huh? He's like, that's kind of overkill. I needed a job once, and I prayed and fasted for 3 days. I said, Spirit of God, you can help me get this job. Spirit of God says, wake up, go get up, go to the trucking agency in Grand Junction, Colorado. There's a trash truck agency there. Get the job. You're irresistible to them. I got the job. The boss, at the end, after 2 years of raising funds so we could go to Africa, after 2 years of doing that, the boss invited everybody to Texas Roadhouse. And I'm not telling you this to toot my horn. This is the Holy Spirit who did this. The boss invites us all to Texas Roadhouse, and the boss says to me, we don't know why we hired Tim. I think God wanted us to hire Tim, and I want him to preach now in Texas Roadhouse to you. That was in America. And people tell me, why doesn't God move like He moves in Africa? He does! It's all about Him. Don't look to the missionary. Let's not make a Superman. Let's not say, well, He has anointing, but I don't have anointing. You know, He's filled with the Spirit, but I'm not filled with it. Your spiritual experience is what I want. The biblical model is that all the believers were filled with the Spirit, and God worked with every believer. And so they didn't run around saying, well, I got to find Pastor Paul to pray for me, otherwise I won't be healed. No, they went to the Spirit, and the Spirit filled them up, and the Spirit blessed them. They had a personal relationship with God, and it's a community like that that changes the city. We don't need to make a Pharaoh out of a pastor or a missionary. He is not the political God. He's not the political and spiritual God of our community. That is not the biblical model. The biblical model is that you be empowered with the Holy Spirit. You and your children and their children. The biblical model is that anybody can pray and receive healing. The biblical model is that anybody can speak in tongues. The biblical model is that anybody can prophesy. The biblical model is to be dependent on the Holy Spirit for everything. So my question to you today, in what capacity would you like to see the gifts of the Spirit operate in your life and ministry? What do you want from Him? I know I need to end. In what measure do you want to see the gifts of the Spirit operate in your life and ministry? I want to leave you with this. If you want to see the Holy Spirit, if you want spiritual power in your life, and I'm not talking about you becoming some big prayer, guru that people come and you put your hand on that. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about in your own personal life, you see God move, and maybe nobody knows about it but you. Okay? If you want to see that, number one, there needs to be earnest prayer in your life. But you need to ask, in what measure do I want? Because really, where you are with the Holy Spirit depends on you. Not your pastor, not your church. Quit blaming it on people. You, my friend, were given. You. This was given to you, no? Is this not in your houses? Can you not go to a hotel and find one for free? Oh, the church doesn't feed me well. I get so tired of hearing that. It's like a lion begging to a sheep. The church doesn't feed me well. God made you to kill and eat now. He made you that way. He made you strong. Strong enough to find your own food. Strong enough to read your Bible. You know how blessed your pastor would be if you came to church having read this and prayed before you came to church? Did you know that one person can ruin a whole service? I've seen it. One bad attitude can kill. To what measure do you want God and the gifts of the Spirit to operate within your life? If you want it, you need prayer. Jesus, Luke chapter 3 and verse 21, Jesus prayed and the Holy Spirit came down on him. Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, the disciples devoted themselves to prayer. Number two, you need to understand that the mission of God is why God empowers you. We already said it. It's for witness. It's not so that you can walk around and say, look, I'm speaking in tongues, I'm prophesying, I'm the prophet of the church, I'm so amazing. That's not why God would empower you. And by the way, He will remove your power if that's the reason why you are being empowered. Number three, you need spiritual quest. Can we as an American church just get over the idea that I have to work for a spiritual blessing? Can we get over that, please? You know, I don't know why we do this, but when our children don't receive what they wanted that night, we tell them, it's okay, you'll get it sometime. No, that's not the biblical model. The biblical model is keep praying, my son. Keep praying. I don't know why God wants you to seek Him. I don't know why your spiritual quest is different from mine. I don't know why you need to keep praying, but keep praying. Don't pat Him on the back and say, you're okay, everybody wins. What is that? Make Him work. Allow Him to work so that, you know, because there's nothing better than having worked for something and achieved it. Why would we take away His blessing by saying, don't work for it, don't worry? You know, when you're 25, 26, 27, maybe God will fill you. No, and finally, be humble and obedient. Ask yourself this question today. To what extent do I want the Holy Spirit to be moving in my life? Because, my friend, people are dying, waiting on you to get the mission of God. People are dying. As goes the church here, so goes the church there. For lack of support here, people die there. So I would say, be filled with the Spirit for the purpose of missions. If you can't do it for yourself, do it for them. If you can't be filled with the Spirit of God because it's good for you. Proverbs says, when a man seeks knowledge, he seeks it for himself. If you can't do it for yourself, do it for them. If you can't be holy because being holy is really good for you and your marriage, then at least be holy for them. You know, I can't be a good missionary if I'm being wicked. If you can't stay in church for yourself, stay in church for them. God bless you, Pastor.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us casperfaith@gmail.com or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.